all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Early call time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So we are over here with our usuals, JJ.
Hello.
And also Andrew.
Hi.
And also
Andrew's a little sick today.
And also me, Nadav. Yeah, this is. I feel like even though we have just recently aired one with the three of us, I feel like this is the first time we've actually sat down and recorded the three of us.
Ever?
No.
Oh, sorry. We've done this before.
I should have said the first time in a long time.
Yes.
Probably yeah, that's true.
Correct.
Because one of us is always gone or busy or...
Yeah.
Anyways, so today we have a super cool, funny guy. His name is Harshit Desai. Holy shit, that rhymed. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I work with him over at Digital Kitchen. He is a motion designer, graphics junior artist. What?
Junior art director.
Junior art director.
Mm.
He's the junior art director.
That is your title, junior art director.
Yeah, that's my title.
Okay.
Congratulations, man.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean.
Tell me what a junior art director does.
It's mostly sort of if we get a pitch, then you come up with a concept and...
Let's backtrack. A pitch for what?
Yeah, so Digital Kitchen is kind of like what they're known for... Is like cool title sequences.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's something that we've done cool one. Like we've done the one for Dexter, the one for True Blood.
Oh, you guys did Dexter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was a great title sequence.
We did the one for Narcos. We did, was it Royal Paint? What's the other Netflix one?
Bloodline.
Oh, nice.
Cool. Man Seeking Woman.
Yeah. That was
cool. Which was cool. Probably a couple other ones too.
Yeah. Small ones.
But anyways, so that's. So usually, and actually, I don't even really know how that process works. Like how like we start even working on a title sequence, like what the pitch process is like, mm-hmm. and all that. But you probably have some pretty good insight to that, right?
Yeah. So usually, you get a pitch that this is the show, this is the premise of the show.
How do we hear about these pitches? Like how do we know that?
I think it's the producers.
Okay.
I think it's the producers that get or who are in touch with. Sort of the outside world. They get us the pitch, and then obviously our creative director will be like, hey, we have this pitch. We have a week to come up with concepts. So usually what happens is you just come up with the idea of how you want to show the title sequence.
And when you present this idea to them, is it like you're making mock-up animations or are you just putting a PowerPoint together?
We usually make the style frames and then we put it in a deck. So the style frame is sort of the most similar frame or visual to what the end result would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So... Yeah.
So some sample frames.
So, yeah, some sample frames that, this is how it could. And then if you have something which is sort of really unique motion-wise, then you can do a motion test to really sell the idea to the client. So the client is like, I really like that. Or that type, the way the credit names come in mm-hmm. are really cool. So sometimes it's just, it's interesting visuals, like live action, and it's not too graphic.
Mm-hmm.
But you add some sort of graphic element or style through the naming or the how the credit names come up. Sort of, yeah, like motion or a concept is in the names of how they come up. Like the style or the texture on it or how they animate in or out sort of thing.
Okay, so I guess like with Narcos specifically, because there was a lot of really cool things that were happening throughout mm-hmm. the entire sequence, mm-hmm. The whole title sequence. Like there was a whole bunch of tracking. Like I remember reading an interview, I forget where, with
Art of the Title?
Yeah, Art of the Title, with where they interviewed Tom O'Neill, the guy that kind of spearheaded the title sequence.
The creative director.
The creative director. where like there were certain parts where you guys took photos and made it look like it was footage, and
So the whole sort of Narcos was that it was a lot of research. It was a lot of like finding archival stuff. It was a lot of sort of trying to figure out a style that we couldn't really make it super like modern day title sequences. It had to feel like it was from the 70s or 80s because it's a period sort of drama, and it had to go with the flow, but also sort of not forgetting that we're making it in 2015, 14.
Right.
So, sure. So first, I think the first idea was how do we go through with it? That it's not just like the story of cocaine, it's the story of Pablo Escobar, but also from the viewpoint of the guy who caught him, Murphy, the DEA agent who caught him. So it can't be all about Pablo Escobar. It has to be about cocaine, about the trade.
About
federal agents, about how do you link that of how he had connections with like the Ronald Reagan era, and then ladies, just everything, basically the Colombian military and stuff like that. So it was a lot of finding archival footage, then a lot of filming certain things and making it look like archival footage. So first we started, we pitched like quite a few things. So one of my concepts was sort of, it was fairly graphic.
Okay.
Like it was a super graphic theme. It was one color, and it started with sort of coca leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a process, it went through, and then it became like riddled with images or imagery of relating to the show of how Pablo Escobar, he bombed a plane, and then other stuff like his family portrait, and then sort of a really strong image of a cop, Colombian military guy sort of thing. So, but treated in a very sort of painterly graphic sort of thing. And the directors of the show mentioned something called magical realism, which is apparently it was born in South America or Colombia sort of thing. So it's like an art form. I think they talk about it in the first episode. It's like a thing they say.
What is magical realism for the? Neither do I. I don't
know it too well. It's this podcast.
It's like when something looks real, but really it's just magically not.
Well, the thing is, it is...
Sure.
You're a writer, you should know.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I actually know what it is. No, I remember. So basically, it somehow translates to that something is so sort of... It's almost magical. Like, he had so much money, he had so much power,
right?
That then you forget the line between what is real and what is fiction. It's
okay.
Like, so that it's sort of surreal, but
right. Like, it kind of makes him like a fairy tale instead of like.
Yeah. Exactly.
Lord of Violence.
So I think it sort of intersects with surrealism a little bit.
Okay.
So that was one of the concepts we did. One of the other ideas was sort of really taking pictures and then having the idea of overlays on top of it. So overlays was...
Right, I saw that in...
Like, that's the one that got picked, basically.
Right, like there's like the bars over the people's
redacted
eyes.
Yeah, the redacted text of how the FBI was hiding or... I don't know, like classified documents
right.
of how they redact.
Yeah,
stuff.
That stuff looked so cool.
Yeah, that came out really well. And then there was one more concept, which was it was imagery related to South America, and then sort of labels. Mm-hmm. So like they have like product labels. They have really artsy or sort of beautifully crafted, hand painted labels. So stuff like that, and just imagery with names inscribed in the image itself. So there was a gun, I think a shotgun or something, and how guns have etchings on them. So right. The etching itself was the name of the caster, you know, stuff like that. So that was, and then we did something, actually the designer who was working then, Paul, he did something really cool. They fed those frames through an old CCTV, or like a, just CRT, not CCTV, CRT. And so it got that really like old school texture, but real texture. And stuff. Yeah, yeah. So like super real texture. So, and then they took photographs of that and then they cropped it and treated it a little bit and put those as frames. That was, I think that was really cool.
Yeah.
That looked nice. So that was interesting. And then
I think we also filmed some stuff for that too, right?
Like we did.
I remember Nick, he went and filmed the quick section of the like Miss Columbia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that was
I think that was in Venice Beach.
Yeah, that was in Venice Beach. And then there was a section where I am in the military outfit.
Oh yeah, I was there for that day.
So in the title sequence where you see a guy in like full military outfit with bunch of
just a table of cocaine, just bricks.
That's you?
Yeah, that was me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was there. We talked about this a little bit in the Brent Lank podcast when Brent came on. But I was there working that day.
Yeah,
and
I remember. Yeah,
yeah, I remember Paul. He was like, "Hey, I need you to come in on Saturday." I'm like, for what? He's like, pretty much just to like move like bricks of cocaine around, like move it onto a table, take it off a table, put it back on a table, take it back off a table.
We need you to come in some felonies. But yeah.
How did that conversation go where it's like, hey, Harshit, look Colombian.
It was more like that. It was me, Chad, the previous, our production sort of coordinator guy, him, Paul and Tom. So four of us were just standing there, and then we were looking at the frames, and then it's like, oh, we're gonna have to film this. Obviously, we'll do casting for the ladies and stuff. And there's one more shot of this, and then they just go, oh, so who do we get there? And then Paul just goes, oh, you. And in that moment, I just said, oh, yeah, I don't care. And they were pretty serious about it.
Yeah, right? You're like, yeah, sure, I'll be the Colombian task force agent, sure.
But, I mean, it was fun. It was my 24 frames to fame.
I think it's probably even shorter than that.
Yeah, it's super short. It's like a second. So, I don't know. But, but yeah, it was interesting, and you can say, "Oh, I'm in the title sequence."
What was it? Yeah. What was it like to get fitted and stuff like for?
It wasn't. I mean, it wasn't that crazy. Those shoes were insane, though. I don't know.
Army boots?
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't know how they. Well, they need that, obviously, but those were pretty crazy to put on and take off.
What did it feel like to get treated like, or did you get treated like talent? Like, like were they like,
no.
Are you thirsty? I remember I was doing a spec shoot with Nick, and I was supposed to play some asshole in it, and there were people that were working on it that didn't know me.
So they
were treating me like talent.
Like a real
and
star.
Yeah, they're like, hey, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Like, can I get you anything? I was like, don't fucking talk to me like that. I work in post. Like, talk to me like I'm like one of you guys. But yeah, water would be nice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that was fun. It was something super new as an experience. Like I worked on that style frame
Yeah.
And then you never think, oh, so that guy.
Yeah.
Photoshopping there. It's going to be you.
So, yeah, right?
So that was interesting. Then a lot of the stuff to take care of was making the overlays, the sort of graphics that went on top, finding, like, scanning signatures or, like, handwritten stuff, but which looks super authentic. Like,
are those all just yours and Tom's signatures and stuff? Or?
Well, yeah, some of it, I think, well, I made some of them, and then I printed them on transparencies or traced them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of them we found old documents, and the FBI has released all of the documents about Pablo Escobar.
Okay.
So the FBI website just has stuff. But then it's also because it's printed on those old DTP printers. So it's really dirty. And even if it's old and sort of archival, it has to still look pretty.
Right.
You know, it has to look, like, clean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, only a certain amount of coffee stains.
Exactly.
Not, like,
exactly.
An actual amount.
Or if, like, a signature is there, it has to be, like, a really pretty stroke. It can be, like, dirty.
Yeah.
And stuff. And that was something I really learned. Because my first day, when I was collecting all those things, I just pulled. I was like, oh, these are great resources. Let me pull all this. And then Tom told me, and David, our other...
The editor of the title sequence, right?
No, the main sort of... The main art director sort
okay.
of guy. He then sort of guided me as to how, you know, that... Oh, you know, when you look for it, it has to be still pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be clean. Even if it's... And looking for layout. Like, if it's a piece of paper... Or a document, like all the other stuff in the middle is not going to be important for us. What we are looking for is that sort of old font style, page
courier.
Yeah, page
mm-hmm.
number.
Redacted.
Or someone who has signed or made some, like, stroked off something and stuff like that, which was really interesting to learn and sort of. Just that having that eye, sort of.
Yeah.
That what do you really look for in the document,
right.
You know?
It's not like, oh my God, we have all these files.
Exactly.
Like, we have a gold mine.
Let's
like,
just
well,
scan everything.
It's actually more like
yeah,
pinpoint
that was,
than
that was, that was where that was really good sort of learning-wise.
So after a certain point, like, looking through all those, like, signatures on the pages, at what point you're like, fuck it, I'm just gonna make them myself.
I did make quite a few, like, some of them myself, and then then for the credits, for the names, how they were appearing, we had to develop different styles of how those could appear. So then... I was trying to trace sort of from the old documents of how, and stuff like how the ink bleeds out,
mm-hmm.
or when they type on a typewriter. Like, if you type two A's, it's not going to be the exact same, especially
right.
on the old ones, because mm-hmm. the
right.
ink is going to, like,
oh,
offset
yeah.
or bleed out and stuff like that. So how do you recreate that and stuff like that? That was interesting. So one of the things I was trying was printing on transparencies and scanning them and then printing them on paper again. Or I put masking tape
mm-hmm.
on just a piece of paper and then print it on that. So it bleeds out.
Oh, cool.
Because
oh.
the masking tape
yeah.
like, absorbs ink in a different way. So that was fun, but I don't think we ended up using that too much because we then ended up going with sort of a really vintage old font, which was much cleaner. Because I think we already had the overlays and the footage and the color sort of making it pretty, like, busy and texture heavy. So then we had to go for a cleaner font, which was... it works great.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool.
So, but yeah, making those overlays was interesting. I had in the very beginning, I don't think we ended up using that, but in the very beginning, I downloaded all these air maps for Miami because he used to smuggle stuff into Miami through his own planes. And I drew all these air maps and like hand wrote them. We bought a light table. So that was a lot of work.
Yeah, geez, how long did that take?
It was more sort of patience rather than a lot of work, because it had to be like really thin lines, and then what to draw, or what should I choose to draw and what not to draw.
Right, what to leave out.
Yeah, exactly, what to leave out. It was fun, though. I once in a while, working with your hand is just, it's much more fun and sort of satisfying in a way. So that was good. Yeah.
How long did it take? Like, from like when you like initially like heard of the pitch to when you guys delivered?
I think we started in September 2014.
Okay.
Because it came in pretty... I started working at DK in July last year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my first projects was, we did this sort of title sequence or show package for this other reality show called House of DVF.
Mm-hmm.
It's the DVF designer, and she had like a reality show.
Right.
So we did that, and then immediately after, I think 2-3 weeks in, we pitched for Narcos. But I believe we didn't get the job until like October-ish.
Okay.
Because when we send in, again, going back to how the pitch works.
Shit, so it took like a year.
Almost, yeah.
From like bid, from bid to delivery, it took a year.
Yeah, it took a while. Also, it was time-consuming because they wanted 4K.
Right.
So that was one more sort of thing about finding the sort of elements. Because all these old documents, they're super low res.
Right.
So having them in 4K, that's why we had to recreate quite a few of them. So we sort of draw them and then scan them in...
Turn them into like vectors.
600 DPI or something. Mm-hmm. And then that's how we got them to be working. We did a lot of prop shoots, too, for it.
Mm-hmm.
The opening the bag full of cocaine, the recording.
Right, the thing, devices.
Devices.
Like panels just switching on and off. Yeah. I remember during that weekend, I literally had to like get washers that were a certain size, and the only ones that we got, like washers, like little metal rings, and the only ones we got had like little like pieces of metal like on the end. They're like, we can't have that piece of metal. But this is the only washer that we found in this size. So I had to sit there and file off that little extra piece of metal off of like 20 washers, which, you know, you would think would, you know, it was kind of a lot. And also, I'm pretty sure I filed like part of my hand down. But
you could have put it in a vice.
And I was looking for that fucking machine. In the title sequence, I couldn't find it.
I don't think we used it.
Fucking bullshit. Yeah,
this sounds like a big like arts and crafts project that you guys really did.
Well, gotta get spray paint. Like, we spray painted these washers black so it would match the machine. It was like so the amount of detail was so nuts.
Yeah. Well, even, I mean, making those bags of cocaine, the bricks of cocaine.
Yeah, there was like a recipe for it.
It was.
Which yeah, it's cocaine.
One part cocaine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I mastered it. I think at least like two of the computers in DK, mine and probably someone else's, is on like an FBI watch list or something.
Yeah.
Because this guy is Googling how to make bricks of cocaine. How is cocaine
so
made?
Hershey, so like, what's your recipe, man? Like, how do you make good cocaine?
I'd like to know this.
It was baking soda. Lots.
I got baking soda. Yeah. I got baking soda.
Lots and lots of baking soda. And we Chad, our production court. I'm getting.
Is that
his,
what he did? No, he was an art director or like art department.
No, I'm getting his position wrong.
Okay.
So, but he was very important. Yes,
for sure.
No, for real.
Yeah, I believe
so. He made this sort of a small wood brick frame,
mm-hmm.
Sort of a die almost. Mm-hmm. And then what I used to do is put cling wrap over it, sort of push it in, and inside, though, also, before you put the cling wrap, there was like a metal frame, which he also made apart from the wooden one. So mm-hmm. I would slide that in first
mm-hmm.
and then put the cling wrap. And then you put all the baking soda. Like, as you go on putting it, then I would spray some water. And then there was a giant wood cube. So I would just put that in and then bang it so that it, like, holds, it compresses. Because mm-hmm. it has to be super solid. Right. It can't be, like, loose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It had to be solid. So it, like, compressing it, putting more baking soda, spring water.
So it's 100% baking soda and a little bit of water. Okay. Yeah,
it's 100% baking soda and water. But it was...
Now, is the brick cocaine, is that the same recipe as just cocaine out on the table?
It is.
Because we did the teasers, when we did the teasers for it, and it was like cocaine, like, flying everywhere.
Oh, yeah, it was baking soda, too.
That was also 100% baking soda?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I think like the what we got for the slow-mo shots, one or two of them, I think we used like talc because we wanted smaller particles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they were also filming super macro, and
right.
they shot on the Phantom for the super slow-mo, the promos. So that was fun. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun too. That was a completely different project and different budget on it. So
yeah, that was cool to like be
and
a part of
one
that.
One of them, they didn't even, I don't think they even aired it anywhere. We made two. One was with the cocaine, the blood drop in the cocaine.
Yeah, Ben Franklin's nose bleeding from that $100 bill. Onto
well,
the
that
cocaine.
One they didn't use.
Oh, really?
They had it on the posters and stuff.
Uh huh.
But that wasn't made by us. That was made by their department.
Okay.
But we pitched the earlier concept of like really super macro shots of cocaine, which looks like valleys of Colombia and mountains, and then you zoom out and it's a map full of cocaine, you know. So and then blood, like a blood drops which sort of just acts as a catalyst to this entire big sequence, sort of. And then they were really sold on the, they were really stuck on the line that there's no business like blow business.
Uh-huh.
So that's, we had to go with that.
Right.
Just a true statement.
Everyone loves mm-hmm. the blow business, you know?
Yep.
It's like,
blow business.
Sign me up.
what's your background? I mean, do you have a background in art? Or
we just kind of skipped over that
part. Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing all this stuff. I'm like, I wouldn't have thought of any of that, so what?
I studied communication design in India back home.
Okay.
And then I worked, communication design was a lot of sort of graphic design and stuff, but also my specialization was animation. But my school, well, this was back in 2005, and animation still was super new. Especially just design schools as a concept were super new back home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in India.
Yeah, in India. And
what year was this?
2005.
Okay.
Like there were two well-known or well-established design schools in India. But that was it. I mean, and then the one I went to had just opened up. So it was just me and one more batch above me. So we were pretty much the guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was just trial and error. And we didn't have like super formal education, I would say. But we made it was like make do with whatever we got,
right,
sort of thing. So it was a lot of self-learning. But then because it was like that, we ended up interacting with like people, friends who were doing UX design or graphic design or product design or filmmaking. It was like we would sit down and just sort of almost learn from each other. So it was a mishmash, which is not, I wouldn't say that is really like the perfect path if you want to.
It's not necessarily a bad one.
Yeah.
You get a little taste of everything.
Exactly. But it, yeah, I mean, it could go horribly wrong. Let's face it.
Right.
Like it's a mishmash. Like
yeah, absolutely.
You become like a master of none. Hey.
Right.
But yeah, and then after that, and because there was no sort of formal path to follow, it was, we started looking at really sort of, you tend to look at, oh, you go in the zone of, I don't like the mainstream, like 3D animation, blah, blah, blah. But then you also start to look more at like how, experimental animation and how is that done? So, but after I graduated, there was this one firm I worked for. They were doing something very similar. They were doing projection mapping,
mm-hmm.
which was super new. Like there was no one who was doing that in 2008-09.
Projection mapping, like a projector, like going onto a building and some sort of...
Which is super common now.
Yeah.
Which has been done a lot now. But in 2008-09, it was like blowing people's minds off.
Yeah.
Especially in India.
It's like, look, this building, it looks like a giant present.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. got a ribbon that's just flowing and shit.
But, and I was completely new to it too.
Uh-huh.
I like the first time I saw it, I was like, whoa, what is this? I want to make this. So I ended up making a couple of projects with the people I worked for. So I would like develop content. We did a project for like a famous Indian fashion designer. So she had her bridal collection. So she had like an installation. It was just a bunch of mannequins and then like her saris were draped onto it. But then we mapped that and the patterns and stuff on the fabric.
That's cool.
And sort of it almost lit up.
You know? Yeah.
That was really cool. And it was like an after party. And because she was a big fashion designer, it was like all the hoopla of Bollywood and whatnot was happening. It was pretty cool.
That's great. That's like really detailed, like on like dress.
Yeah, dresses. It was a lot of fun. We did it the hard way too, because we were really new to it, so we didn't know hardcore scripting or anything.
Because
if you know scripting, then you can move stuff around, but we didn't know scripting, so we did it the hard way. So we sort of put like tape around the whole installation and the projector that this can't move for the next week or something.
Right.
So everything's fucked.
Yeah, after their store would close, and she had like a two-story really fancy store and stuff, and that's where she was exhibiting it, and then she was gonna close it down for like a party and stuff. So after the store would close at 7 p.m. or 6:30 or something, that's when we would go and work and make it. Oh, so is that edge matching to that? But it shouldn't be really done.
Like, right.
Well, I'm pretty sure now they don't do it like that.
Yeah, but, I'm sure it's much easier now.
Yeah, and they definitely got like way cooler. Because I'm still in touch with them and mm-hmm. their recent projects are super cool. Yeah, so I started doing that. And then it was like, whoa, this is amazing. I love this. And after that, it was more like, I was doing that, but it was like jobs that would come and go.
Right. Like small gigs.
Yeah. And then sort of higher education is pretty important back home. I have an older brother, so he's an engineer. No surprise.
Congratulations.
And he was already doing his master's and started working in London. So my parents, they were like, you should go. You should do your master's and stuff like that.
Get your master's in graphics and animation.
Yeah, animation or something. Because they knew, like, your undergrad education hasn't been that great. So, like, well, are you thinking? What are you
like, Mom, thinking no of? One looks at my GPA. Yeah, I'm applying to jobs.
What are you thinking of doing? And also, I think it was fairly new. I got really lucky that I got to work on projects like that, because that was the only firm that was doing it. Apart from that, advertising and graphic design, that is super huge in India. Mm-hmm. And it's really good too. Like, the quality of advertising that comes out of India, I actually haven't noticed that like anywhere else, especially like the Eastern world. I feel... And by quality of advertising, I mean sort of campaigns and like hitting that emotional value, or just ads in general. I think what has been given out is really cool. So that was big, but I wasn't into that at that point. And so I thought, okay, let's try this. So then I went to SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design, for my master's, MFA in animation. But even there, like, animation was dealt with, it was super 3D. Like, animation was character animation. And I wanted to do either previs, like shot design and cinematography, maybe, or something different, like what I'm doing right now, which ideally is motion design, motion media, motion graphics design. But during that time, the course at SCAD, which is now called motion media design, was not called that. It was, I think, called broadcast design or something.
Okay.
And that, it really didn't catch my eye or sort of interest to even go and look at that webpage sort of thing, you know?
Like, fuck it, I don't want to do cartoons. Yeah, I want to do, like, big shit.
No, and I was like, I don't want to do broadcast design. And broadcast design is more like what the graphics, like the lower thirds and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Like, that's pretty, like, low tier, like, bottom level, like, in terms of, like, graphics and, animation, right? Like, you start there and then you can't work. Like, how does that work?
It's not anymore, because... But at that point, I was pretty naive, so I didn't know much.
Okay.
But...
I mean, am I wrong about that? Like
yeah, I wouldn't say wrong, but it comes with... It's a complete package, so you design it. So, like...
Even, so it's like everyone needs it, so it's not really bottom. Yeah,
it's
like,
not bottom. It's just a whole sector. It's just a broadcast, like, package. So a channel will come to... like how FX had come at one point to DK, and they were like, oh, we need our entire channel rebranded. So that's a huge project. And it's literally, the channel is giving us their entire face. Like, give me a makeover.
Yeah.
So it
we're the plastic surgeons.
Yeah, you redesign, you change maybe the font, their colors, what they're going for, their look and feel of how... If someday, who did that? TBS or someone where they did, they have these like block colors now, like dark blues or like bright blues and greens and stuff like that, which is completely rebranded.
Right.
It's super new. And I mean, it's pretty important.
Yeah.
It's definitely
not. So people remember you.
Yeah. I mean, and, it's like, oh, I like the new TBS, or I like the new MTV, or...
Right. It's like, oh, I like this version better than the last version.
Like, oh, I love the cool stuff they have done. In UK, they do Channel 4, has really amazing idents. And I think they are always, like, just given to independent filmmakers and stuff. Like I think you get to win the pitch or something. I'm not sure, but it's funded by the British Council of something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, something. So, it's not really low tier. And if I could go back, I should have taken that as a major.
Mm-hmm.
Motion media design. I took my prereq classes in animation, but I took all my electives in motion media design. So that was fine. Okay. Like I still got the best of both worlds, you know? Because mm-hmm. I took classes in storyboarding and stuff, which taught me more like, oh, this is how you can progress in a story, or how you can tell a story with this shot or blah, blah, blah. And then, and if you want to make it more graphic or cool.
Yeah. How to make it cooler. It's, how to make it sexy. Yeah,
it's that class. You go take that elective.
Yeah.
But, now the course at SCAD, this totally sounds like an ad for SCAD, but it is now the motion media design department, they're doing so well. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good artists coming out of there.
Yeah, the stuff that they're kicking out is pretty top-notch. Super nice.
That's dope. Yeah. So if you guys are looking to get into it, look up SCAD.
Yeah. Savannah College of Art and Design.
A lot of people that I know came from there that are now editors and in the TV industry.
Yeah.
How did you get out here to Los Angeles?
Oh, after SCAD, I was working at another studio called Jump in Atlanta. I had interned there earlier, one of my summers at SCAD, and they really liked me having there. And then after I graduated, so my visa is connected to my job.
Mm. Right.
So at that point, it was really good. The guy offered me, and I liked the place, so I went and took it up. And then, but it was a smaller shop, and I was just looking at other places too.
Right.
To the style of work I wanted to do. It wasn't. Sort of completely pertaining to my style of what I do right now. And then I just generally applied to other places. And then I had applied to Digital Kitchen because they had posted that they were looking for a designer, motion graphics designer. Like, okay, I could do that. And I applied, but I still wasn't sure if I wanted to move all the way to LA from Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah, I was just settling in. It was like 7-8 months into the job, into that job. And just it's a big move. It's money and stuff. And especially visa. Sort of a lot of things are tied, you know.
Yeah.
You got to get the company that, oh, are you guys going to file for my visa, you know? If not, I can't really do it. But after my interview, they offered me like a junior art director sort of position, which was a step up and sort of going towards what I really want to do. So I was like, okay, let's do it. Boom. So I came to LA and today to Tarzan.
Do you have any advice that anybody that's trying to get into your field of work, anything at all? Is it, if it's classes or if it's networking or
if someone like sees you like, oh yeah, I want to fucking make the title sequence of Narcos in the future. What do I need to do?
One of the really good advices sort of I received and also noticed was that I used to look at reels, and every reel is sort of, in a way, it's cookie cut because they're assignments. So everyone has like three end tags in their reel, like three channel end tags, or three or like one title sequence in there. Mm-hmm. These are all assignments you get in motion media classes, you know, like, oh, design a title sequence or design a channel branding or stuff like that. So they're quite similar. So I think well, one advice is those assignments need to be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you need to just
bust your ass.
Yeah, on those.
Like, don't try and get a C on it. Try and set the curve.
Yeah, like, that should look... Like, if you get a job tomorrow and that same company comes with a pitch, you should be able to just pitch that. And having said that, I don't think mine was that, like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a few projects which turned out pretty good on my end. And that's how I could sell some of it. And another one is sort of, this is like a completely opposite advice of mm-hmm. A.
Okay.
But B is that, I mean, even if they're
assigned. Just wait around and look at your phone and just wait for people to call.
And just take it. Even if it's just assignments, if you guys have time to do your personal projects, because that
give yourself assignments.
Yeah, and this was one piece of advice that I got from another art director I once had a opportunity of talking with. His name is Trevor Conrad, and he art directs at Buck, and I think now at Gentleman Scholar.
Okay,
they're all near DK actually, those studios. But he said every time, it's like, you can't really come up with your own style. It's just you keep on doing it, and then it becomes your own style. Yeah. Like, you, I'm thinking, oh, I want to make a poster like Night of the Living Dead. But then through the process, you're going to end up, like, reworking, working on it, and you'll subconsciously add your own stuff to it, which makes it your own style.
Right.
It's like that. So that was good advice. So having something personal which sells you, and then also that, oh, this is what I can do, but then also this is, if you want me to do this, I can kick ass on the mainstream projects too, stuff like that. And also collaborate, please. I didn't do that as much, and I wish I had. Like, if you have a group of friends, just
keep in touch with them.
Three friends, just keep in touch. And then just three friends make a kick-ass project. Yeah, I failed at that a little bit. I mean, I should have collaborated on my like final thesis film and made it like super cool.
But yeah,
yeah. So stuff like that.
You came around. You survived it.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
But if you could go back and do it again, exactly, you would have done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the animation, character animation could be better. I wish I had given it to someone else. You know, stuff like that. When you look back at it.
Right.
So yeah, own style and then kick-ass assignments, especially kick-ass assignments. Yeah.
Cool. Well,
sweet.
That's a good advice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have something, Nadav?
Yeah, before, I mean, should we do, I feel like we really only have time for one of these. Should we do a horror story or should we do the game?
What's the game? Which one is it?
Red light, green light.
Those can go on for a while sometimes. Yeah.
Do you have a horror story that you've...
Sorry, man.
No, you don't have to give names. You don't have to.
Wait, hold on one second, guys. There's some music that goes along with it.
Oh.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Are you crazy or just plain stupid?
The f*** are you doing?
Everyone
horror
in this
story.
Hold on.
listen to it.
I thought
there you go.
Okay, so this is horror stories, Hershey, where you could talk about some crazy fuck ups that either you witnessed, you were a part of. You don't have to say any names of companies or what production it was. You can keep it very vague. But the floor is yours, man.
There was this one place I worked at. It was back home in India, and I worked there for like 3 months, and okay. It was a really small shop. I was just, it's a job, you know. Let's mm-hmm. do it. Why not? Just let's pay our dues, sort of thing. And this guy wanted to make a feature film or something, animated feature film, and. He's
posting on Craigslist for animators?
No, I don't even know how I got that job. I think I just cold called a bunch of studios.
Okay.
And he gave me like a written, not even screenplay, it's just a paragraph of how he visualizes the first like few scenes of the film. And it is the exact, like, ditto copy of The Lion King. it is a Lion King, but with monkeys.
And this, sweet. And I'd watch
this,
that.
And there was monkeys in Lion King.
And this monkey lives in Mumbai.
Okay.
And, see, now that I think of it, I would have been pretty funny. But it was just...
Yeah, and there's like a baby monkey and a silverback gorilla. He's like, all this will be yours. Weird. Don't go into that elephant graveyard thing.
And in my head, the worst part is I was going along with it. I was like, yeah, we could have that. This could work that way. Because the first week of the job, you really don't know what you're doing.
You're feeling like going.
You don't want to make anyone pissed at you. Like, who's this new guy?
Yeah, you don't want to be the one saying no.
Yeah. So, but it was really just, and then he would ask me to write, like, oh, write the story. It's like, oh, I thought you have the story. So he's like, no, think of some stuff that can happen.
He's like, I know how to animate.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of just random stuff. I'm like, you know what? People like a good tragedy. So we should maybe kill someone. And I'm thinking of killing characters. And it was weird. And then that was just the first 2 days. And then that went. That I never heard of that thing ever again in the next, like, 3 months.
Okay.
I was like, huh? What happened about that? And then then he would ask me, just like, just draw, man. Just draw. Like, what do I draw? He's like, no, just practice. Oh, by the way, this was unpaid. All this shit was unpaid. So he was...
Even better.
He was thinking that he's like, oh, you know what? I'll train you. You can draw and learn more of this. And then once you're really good, then this is like your trial period.
This is your probationary, super secret, yeah. Double probation.
And then another stuff he would like ask me to make spreadsheets in Flash. I don't know. Spreadsheets in Flash.
To get you thinking about it differently, Harshid. Come on.
It was so weird. And then I, at the end of 3 months, I was just like, and my exit was pretty funny too. I decided to leave because that place was pretty far away from where I used to live.
Okay.
In Mumbai. And, well, it wasn't technically far away. Like, it was probably shorter than this is from Culver City.
Okay.
But because of the traffic and just the roads and stuff, it wasn't that great. It was like an hour and a half, I think, bike ride to the place. It's just painful. And the monsoon season was coming up, so I
thought, fuck this. It's a good reason to not do a job anymore.
I was just like...
It's like, hey, I'm putting in my 2 weeks' notice. Why?
Oh, no.
Because monsoon season starts in 2 weeks. I was just like,
hey.
My legs are tired.
Yeah. And I
just came into work, and boy, are my legs tired.
I also said, I was like, no, I'm planning on, like, going to do my master's and stuff, so I gotta start that process. So, and then that guy's wife is like trying to convince me that there's nothing out there. Are you insane?
This is weird. They're like,
well, they just wanted you to work for free from
home. Yeah, are you insane? Why don't you just keep working here instead of going out there and looking for stuff where they would pay you?
Make Mumbai Lion King. Make Mumbai Monkey King. But it was, they were...
Yeah, they're just
did you learn anything from it?
No, zero.
Good nothing. Okay.
Well, that's a good piece of advice, is if you're not learning anything, leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless.
That's actually really sound advice.
Yeah.
Thanks, sort of.
Yeah.
They were.
This is the first time we heard your voice this podcast.
I asked a question earlier.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Actually, how did you get here?
He asked a pretty important question.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a dog.
How did you
No, you definitely contributed, Andrew. I'm sorry.
How did you get here in our lives today?
Sweet, man. Well, I mean,
awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
If there's.
This was awesome.
Was this educational?
Was it good for you as it was for us?
I had fun. I had a lot of fun.
Dope.
I had fun, man. I just hope my voice doesn't sound super crazy.
No, it just sounds Indian.
That's the thing, because that was one of the things we were talking the other day, that it's just, I picked up an accent. And no, I'm not proud of it.
After you got here?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It became even more Indian after you got here?
I don't know. It is not like this. Like, I can talk like this, but then I don't want to.
You know, it's weird because sometimes I hear you pronounce words and then you say something like territory. You're like, territory. And it's like, that's so weird because you pronounce other words in a way where I wouldn't think you'd pronounce
The R's are the most weird.
Yeah, but I would agree with that.
Yeah, but... But back home, I talk like this. This is my normal. And then sometimes my R's roll subconsciously. And then sometimes I just put it on.
I just put it on.
Sometimes you're like, you know what? You're hanging out with Americans today. You gotta fucking really bring the A game.
This happened, and now it's just like, I'm in deep, man. I'm in deep. I'm not proud of it. This is
good.
But
shit.
This is my save.
Well, it's good, man. It's pretty good so far.
No, it was
room for improvement, of course, but you know,
always.
Can people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah,
do you have a Twitter account?
If people want to hit you up,
I should make a Twitter.
You should
get on Twitter. Okay, so if people want to like hit you up, say if someone like wants to give you word, they're like, "Holy shit, I want to get the fucking graphics person of this."
Gonna make a Twitter right now.
Right now, like
after we end. I don't
What are the possible names that you're thinking of so that they could know who to follow?
I'm guessing Harshit Desai is taken.
I don't know.
You think so? What about the Harshit?
What about Harshit Mumbai Desai? Monkey?
Dude,
it's fucking amazing. Mumbai Monkey King.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so you can follow Harshit.
And then Twitter also accepts like handle changes, right?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. They do, right? Yeah. So if Mumbai Monkey King never happens, I'll just change it once I get my 100 followers.
Yeah.
So,
or I'm on Instagram.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah, how can they follow you on Instagram?
It is
Mumbai Monkey King.
Coincidentally,
Is it Harshit N Desai or Harshit Desai?
You might have to spell it.
Yeah,
for our listeners.
Yes, that would be fun.
Yeah,
that's one more thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Harshit Desai 12. So
the first 11 were taken.
Yeah. H A R S H I T Desai Desai 12.
Nice.
That's how you spell 12.
12.
Got it.
It's not spelled out. It's actually the number.
No.
12.
Sweet.
How do you spell 1,000 in numbers?
1000.
Got it. Cool.
Yeah.
JJ, how do people follow you on Twitter?
JJ Geiger 711.
Cool.
True.
Andrew?
I'm at the real Zuber.
And you, Nadav?
I am at Very Nadav Show.
Perfect.
What's our podcast at?
early call time.
Yeah.
And you can also email us with questions or your own horror stories.
We haven't had a lot of questions lately.
Yeah, we have.
Nope. We've been answering all of them.
We should do something controversial so someone will email us and say that's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think film is stupid. I think film is dead.
I am super excited to not see the new Star Wars movie. Because Star Wars as a franchise is crap.
I haven't seen any of the trailers.
I really hate Star Wars. I really hate it.
I hate every...
I read this really great theory that... Or not theory. What the fuck?
Just postpone.
So I read this article that white
people... Wait, are we stopped recording?
No, what's happening?
Okay. I heard postpone.
I read this article that white people, or some white people, are very upset at Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
They, like, came up with some crazy theory where it's like, yeah, they're just pretty much trying to kill off all the white people in some white person genocide or something.
There was a guy who killed himself over it.
Yeah.
He, like, left a suicide note for his wife, and he was like, I just can't.
I can't live in a world.
And everybody was like, sweet.
No white protagonist. Yeah.
Thanks for not being able to.
We don't need you.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? The gene pool just improved a little bit better.
One less space.
Yep.
One more visa.
Cool.
Down with Whitey. Tune in next week.
That's our controversy.
For another.
You can call us at 267-225-CHAT. Yeah,
that'll get us at least one email, I think.
267-225-CHAT.
Yeah. A nice little Detroit number. And with that, listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.